Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this car good, ISO?
Yo, it's good, man.
Yo, I've been getting some bad cars lately, man.
Not for me.
Yo, I need my money.
Yo, you good, Doc. You good. Check it out.
All right, hold on. All right, we good. You're now in the office of Dr. Big Al and my patient,
ISO, on Nick's Therapy
at 7sitemedia.com.
What up, ISO?
What up, Doc? It's been a minute, man. I got a free pro bono on this one. What's up?
Yo, you got a couple coming to you, man. I can't front, man. I've been missing an action, and you held it down for a few weeks, man. But I'm happy to be back, yo.
Yo, that's what's up, man. I mean, I don't know if your bill going to be kind of high because, you know, or your security cameras is going to be, you know, on the fritz because, you know, I had to hotwire a couple of joints to get in, but it's all what it is. You know what it is.
Yo, that's all taken care of, man. But I appreciate you holding it down, man. Like I said, you good for a few weeks, man.
All right. That's good to know, Doc. That's good to know, man.
Yeah, man. What's good with you, though, man? How was your week off?
Doc, you know, it's been kind of great. I can't lie. You know, like, I've been feeling, you know, with me coming in here and controlling the boards and everything and taking some of your clients' money, I've been kind of good, Doc. I can't front. You know, it's looking good. It's looking good. You'd never expect
you feel,
a season with Porzingis being down. I'd feel good, but I'm feeling good, Doc.
How the Knicks been making you feel lately, though?
It's to say a franchise player is not going to be playing in the beginning of the season and I'm still anticipating the season says a lot, man. Says a lot.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing from a lot of Knicks fans, man. I mean, there's a lot of times we go through this as far as, you know, when the summer comes, anticipating the season and the hope that things go right, you know what I mean, and we have a good season. But I think the air is a little different this year, man.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's just, you know, management has done a great job, not a good job, a great job of making the best of a situation. You know, like from the draft, from what we've got in the draft, from what we have as a coach, for what the his expectations are, how he's conducting himself, how the front office is conducting himself. I mean, I can't be happier, man.
There's a phrase that he brought about. We're talking about Coach Fizdale that we titled this week's show, which is, and you've been talking about a lot, which is keep what you kill.
And, that's right.
Explain that where that came from.
Well, you know what I'm saying? For all the movie buffs out there, Keep What You Kill is a reference to a movie called Riddick, you know what I'm saying, where it's just a hungry mentality. And what he's speaking about is the fact that nothing is given. No, it doesn't matter what your pay grade is, how old you are, how much time you spent in the league. If you're getting playing time, you're going to earn it. This is straight from your handbook, Doc. So you gotta love it.
We're gonna get deeper into it a little later in the show. We got a few things to touch on, but it is from what I wanted last year when me and you went in back and forth on the subject of Willie Hernan Gomez when you kept saying that he was gonna start, and I was like, nah, man, that's not the way to do it. You know what I mean? Dude's gotta earn his spot. You know what I mean? From the top down, but we'll get back to that, man, later on the show. We got a few things we're going to touch on, man.
So give us the rundown, Doc. What's the rundown for the show tonight?
First of all, let me shout out the number for the listeners out there, 563-999-3716.
Press 1 to enter the queue. Press 1 to enter the queue. You know what I'm saying? So you can get that convo. Nickelackin.
563-999-3716. Yeah, I'm going to give you the rundown right now. Let's just jump into it real quick, man. Last week we was talking about, you know, we've been talking about this. Players, some of the Knicks players, us wanting some of the Knicks players to work out with, you know, some of the vets or Hall of Famers, you know, players from the past. And this past week we saw Kevin Knox working out with Rod Strickland. I know that was a joy to your eyes. It was to me, too. How you feel about that, man?
I mean, what's funny is that Kevin Knox idolizes Kevin Durant. And just earlier in the summer, the big talk was about Rod Strickland working with Kevin Durant. So to have Kevin Knox work with Rod Strickland is just following in his idol footsteps. But also, you know, they're saying that it also has some types of implications as well, being that Rod Strickland is Kyrie's godfather. And, you know, so there's many ways you can read into it. But just strictly from a basketball standpoint, I think that for him to be where he's at in his game and not rest on his laurels is a great sign. Like, there's always going to be a talented player. But the thing that always gravitate me to the stars is the way that they approach the game. He has some hard his talent. He has some God-given physical tools, but he's applying it with hard work. So the fact that he came into the draft wanting to do no solo workouts but only group workouts and dominate that, to come into the summer league and have one of the highest scoring averages in the summer league as an 18-year-old, and then from that to say, I'm not going to even leave when the team leaves. I'm going to stay to watch more of these people to see who I can learn from and watch the competition. And then to go train with Rod Strickland. Like, this is the stuff that legends are made of. For real.
That's my point in it. I mean, we've seen the greats, you know, you talk about Kobe, Garnett, a lot of others. The greatness in them comes from adding something every summer to their game. That's what they built their careers on, adding something every year to their game. And I think it's a joy to see what we talk about as far as him working with, you know, some may consider him a great. I think a lot of people, fans in the New York area consider him, you know, a legend. But to, as a rookie, to be working out with somebody of that stature and looking to, you know, improve at, you know, this early in your career right away, I think is big, man. I think it shows something towards, you know, Kevin Knox's character. I think the connection they said it came from is he was teammates with Rod Strickland's son in high school. But it does, you know, add to what you said as far as Strickland being Kyrie's godfather. And, you know, I think it's all a connection, you know what I mean? And it's a joy to see, a real joy to see. I was excited when I saw that. And
I know, just
too,
brought
man.
Chills. It just brought chills to my whole body to say, like, this dude is so young and he already gets it.
Right.
He already gets.
We haven't seen that from, as far as I can remember, any of the Knicks players recently. You know what I mean? And he's just a rookie. You know, And I mean, we was talking about it the day before, just the day before, and the next day we saw that. So that was a joy to see. To me, another point when I saw that, I was like, yo, why can't Frank work with this dude? You know what
right.
I mean? I think he would benefit a lot from it. I mean, we've seen some things from Frank, and I think one of the things we want to see is aggressiveness and him finishing at the rim. And I don't think there's much better than Rod Strickland when it came to finishing at the rim. You know what I mean? And we see where Kyrie gets it from. Most definitely. I think that's something you alluded to last week when you talked about, you know, players and, you know, their fathers, you know, although Rod Strickland is not his father, but, you know, players grabbing things from their elders, you know?
That's how you advance yourself in the game, man. If you look at past history, all the greats, all the young talented kids that's come up into this league have patterned their game and have learned from the elder statesmen. It's no surprise that you have Donovan Mitchell do what he do. It's really not. It's really not a surprise because for the simple fact that he's been working with CP3. So you understand that he has and understands lineage. Look at him when he's representing the Utah Jazz. He's rocking Karl Malone jerseys. He's doing all that. So, you know, Kobe willing to ask. The reason why Kobe Bryant is the closest thing since Michael Jordan because he was willing to ask Michael. Like, think about that. All this time that Michael has been playing everybody, nobody was humble enough to say, yo, Mike, how do you do this? How do you do that? And Kobe was willing to ask that. And that's how you get better, man, is just not relying on your own skills, but being able to take from others. So he can have a handle like Rod Strickland or see some ways to get to the hole like Rod and then incorporate something. He's going to learn further down the line. You could see it that he's going to work with KD. And
at some point, yep.
Yeah, so the thing about it is he just has to continue to learn, man. As long as he continues to learn, then he's going to be fine, man, and we're going to be fine.
A couple other notes I picked up, you know, about him this past week was he said something about he can't wait to talk to the New York media. You know what I mean? That's something that a lot of even vets shy away from when it comes to New York. You know what I mean? In all sports, a lot of people can't handle it. And then to hear an 18-year-old say that they're looking forward to talking to the New York media, I thought that was kind of big. And that I heard that came from his pops. We talked about his pops was a professional football player.
Right.
And his pops prepared him for this. He said at his first, you know, grade school game, basketball game, he invited 300 people, you know, so his son could get used to playing under the lights and playing with eyes on him. So I think we saw that in summer league. I think I saw that at Kentucky too. It's like he didn't care what was going on around him. I think he had one focus, and that was, you know, what he was doing on the court. And I mean, I think it's again back to his character as far as saying, you know, he's looking forward to talking to the New York media. And he likes answering questions. I think a lot of things won't faze him once the season starts. And he's probably a little ahead of the curve when it comes to that part compared to other rookies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kevin Knox, he's gonna be a great contributor down the line. You know what I'm saying? He has the gifts to be a star. Like I said, he's only 18. I think when it's all said and done, he may end up being like 6'10". So when you think about his direction and his upside and his willingness to get better, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit for him, man. And, like, what more can you want in a situation where you have a rookie? And I think what's almost beneficial for him is that there can be a parallel. There can be a parallel with him and Jason Tatum as far as he can reach his ceiling. He can reach his ceiling quicker because he's not going to have to be worried about getting pulled.
Right.
That's the benefit of not having Porzingis early, is that he doesn't have to worry about getting pulled. So that right there will lend a lot to his confidence, because Jason Tatum, like, you know, you could see how he played the rest of the season compared to how he played in the very first beginning of the game. And, there's going to be a lack of timidness because he knows that Gordon Hayward's there. So you're not going to get the burn that you would have as a regular rookie. But knowing that I'm allowed to make mistakes, I'm allowed to grow. And maybe that was one of the reasons why Frank was so timid. That could be. Like, that hasn't even entered into my psyche until I'm thinking about it right now. Probably part of the reason why he was so non-aggressive is because he didn't want to get pulled.
Let me just
play the game the right way, because, you know, Jeff Hornacek, he has to win games to keep his job. So it's a different mentality now. And I love the fact that once he came back after his first game and Fizdale light a fire under him, he was able to come back. So it all ties into playing time. And the fact that Kevin Knox is going to have an abundant amount of playing time, I think that is going to bode well for his career.
Yeah, I think early on. I think you're right. That's something I did notice recently, too, when you're talking about Frank. The other day they showed one, I think it was the first game he started. When they gave him the keys and he actually started. I don't think it was when he was shifted over to the two guard, but his first game starting at the point guard against the Nets. And I think he had a double-double. And I think that goes to what you were saying as far as the timidness after knowing that you're going to get the playing time and, you know, the keys are yours. So,
yeah, man, that's anybody, you know, that's anybody. When you think about being in a situation where if you don't perform, you're cut. That's very stressful to play under. So you're not playing. You're never going to play as freely as you're supposed to because, you know, people who don't worry about playing time can miss a few shots and can get themselves into a rhythm. Whereas people coming off the bench are expected to be right away. That's why you're on the bench. You know what I'm saying? That's why they always say that, you know, a player who comes in right away and performs, that's the hardest thing to do. Because you don't have no rhythm to get ready. You have to constantly be ready. And that's a totally different circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit in the past. But that once I saw that the other night, I kind of felt that not to say it's going to go against what we've been preaching as far as earning your spot, but that might lead to Frank starting. You know what I mean? At the point guard, I think all in all, Tim Hardaway Jr. will win the two guard spot. But I kind of feel Frank might be forced to to start at the point guard spot?
To me, it's not even about the point guard spot. It's just overall whether she's starting or not. Because at this day and age, we understand that Fizdale's going to be playing positionless basketball. So when you're playing positionless basketball, it's almost like old school Chicago Bulls, you know, when you had Derek Harper, Pippen, and Jordan. Didn't matter. All three of them could bring up the ball, initiate offense. And I think that's what he wants to get. That's what he wants to get into, where it's just not always having, because until there's a set point guard, as far as who has distinguished himself to be like, yo, I'm the one that's gonna continuously initiate the offense. Like when you have somebody elite, like maybe a Kyrie Irving, hint hint.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but even then, when you have a Kyrie Irving, just the ability to say, hey, you know, all it is bringing up the ball. It's just, you know, like Steph brings up the ball, but he can create and find people, but he isn't as counted on as, say, as a Chris Paul.
Right.
So that's the kind of offense you want to have. You have a point guard to just say, okay, he's the one who mainly may bring up the ball, but when it comes to initiating the offense, it should
everybody
be a motionless, positionless offense, whereas once the ball crosses half court, okay, we get into our sets, pass, cut, move, this and that. And, you know, so, yeah, Kyrie or whoever can initiate the offense, maybe get a couple of breakdowns and do what he does is when you get the mismatches. But really, it's all about having a universal, because Kevin Knox is going to be able to bring up the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think about it. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, they can all some way, shape, or form initiate the offense. And that's what you want, which makes a lethal combination to defend.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yo, I'm gonna take a step back for a second, ISO.
Okay.
Something that I noticed, it just popped in my mind the other day that, you know, we had, to me, the original Draymond Green. Can you think about who I'm talking about?
What?
I'll give you a few seconds.
We had the original Draymond Green?
Yeah, a while back.
What era?
90s.
Okay. We still got a lot of callers out there, so my callers, please press 1 to enter the queue, 563-999-3716. I just had to throw that in there, Doc.
Yeah.
You know, 9877 is on the line. You know, press 1 to enter that queue, baby, we can get some talk. But who is the original? I don't know. Oh, Anthony Mason?
Yeah, you do you agree or not?
Yeah. Yeah, no question.
Original, rest in peace, Anthony Mason. Bruiser, you know what I mean? He had a better dribble, a better handle than Draymond.
Yeah, but he couldn't shoot a lick.
He couldn't. He improved a little bit to about 15 feet, but, yeah, he could. As far as anything further than that, he couldn't, but, yeah. Another thing that popped in my mind, too, 2 years ago, around the trade deadline, we had a chance to trade D. Rose for Ricky Rubio. I'm saying that because, you know, what we just said as far as we still don't have a set point guard, an established point guard. And after what Ricky Rubio did last season, do you think we should have pulled the trigger on that one?
Definitely, because, I mean, if when you look at, further down the line, you know, then you have, well, it's hard. Because, yes, you wanted that. Yes, you could say we could have wanted that. But then at the end of the day, then you're going to be paying Ricky Rubio and not have a chance to get a Kyrie.
That's,
you know?
True. I mean,
It's like you got to think, you know, you're thinking foresight now. Like, for, the, you know, the advancement, yeah, we could keep him. But if we keep him, then, you know, the door is closed on us, and then he could go to the Nets or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure about his contract situation, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. But I mean, after what Ricky Rubio did last season, you know, he's, I think, I don't want to say elite, but probably in the top half of point guards in the league, you know. What else we got on the agenda? We've been talking about this, trading Courtney Lee. And it came up that a team that might need Courtney Lee is Portland. You know?
I don't want it. No.
I don't want the trade.
I don't want that contract. I don't need – there's no reason for that. Like, I don't need Miles Leonard. What do I need him for?
I don't care for it either.
What do I need him for?
To me, we do want to get rid of Courtney Lee's contract, but I think the bigger contract we need to get rid of is Tim Hardaway Jr., man.
I'd rather keep Courtney Lee's contract and get rid of Tim Hardaway's contract.
That's what I'm saying. Tim Hardaway Jr.'s contract is I think 2 years longer than Courtney Lee's, and I think for the last year he has a player option. I think that's the contract we need to get rid of, and I think he might be an even more attractive player to some teams than Courtney Lee. You know, I wish the Knicks would look to move Tim Hardaway Jr. rather than Courtney Lee. You know, I don't know. The talk is has for a while has been Courtney Lee, getting rid of Courtney Lee and Joakim Noah, but I think somehow they need to get Tim Hardaway Jr. in that equation too, man.
Okay. Yeah, we need to trade Tim Hardaway Jr. in a heartbeat, for real. But you know, like
I mean, that last week you got on him something nasty, man, and had me cracking up. You know, that statement you said about how you Tim Hardaway Senior's son, and you don't have a handle.
Yo, it doesn't look good that you got Wade Jr. hitting clutch baskets on you, dog. Like, pro-am, any am, it don't matter. Like, I'm just not feeling that. I'm just not feeling that.
We can root for him, and, you know, he's on our team, but I'm sorry, man. That's a guy that I can't stand him, man. You had a guy in John Starks who you hated, you know what I mean, as far as Knicks players, but I can't stand Tim Hardaway Jr., man. You know what I mean? He has his ups, but I know I notice the down part's too much, man. The lack of hustle and I can't stand it, man. So I don't know, man. I just wish they look into that, dealing Tim Hardaway Jr. first before Courtney Lee. What else we gonna get into?
Doc, what do you think about getting some new unis, man? What do you think about getting some new unis?
That would help. You know what I mean? It got to be something fresh, man. Last year they brought out those 9/11. I think, you know, paying respect to the fire department and the New York City police. They were all right, but they didn't hit. I don't know if it's because, you know, the state of the team. Is there a uniform that you would like them to bring back, though?
Bring back, like, give us that sauciness of the Ewing days, B. Give me that right there.
Why not?
Give me that.
You mean the like the late 80s one or the,
yeah.
the one where they the classic one. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Give me some classic tones, you know what I'm saying? Like we got history, bruh. We got history. You know what I'm saying? Like let's get that popping again. Let's get that energy, man. You know what I'm saying? And call us, man. I know you out there. Press 1 to get into the queue. Press 1 to get into the queue so we can talk, man. And all my other listeners, 563-999-3716.
Yeah. Another positive that's been brought about this summer that we've talked about a few times. But back to Mitchell Robinson, man. You know, there's been more that's been talked about him and the training he's been doing this summer. He's a guy that, you know, we see stuff on the internet, whether it be Instagram or wherever, but he's a guy that's been working this summer, man. And
well, we caught a steal that the things that a lot of people didn't know about, and I'm pretty sure if they did, he would have been snatched up earlier. A lot of people did not realize that my man was training and getting honing his skills against none other than Anthony Davis.
For real, man. And what we've heard is, I think it's kind of eye opening as far as the workouts he had with Anthony Davis.
Exactly.
And we know Anthony Davis to be, you know, one of the better shot blockers in the league. And from what they've been saying is that he was able to get, you know, after working out with him, he was able to get his shot off clean against Anthony Davis. You know what I mean? And then looking back at what we've seen from him in the summer league, and I was looking at some stats, and out of all of the top big men, you know, picked in the first round, Bagley Jr., DeAndre Ayton, Wendell Carter. Who else I'm missing? But he outshined all of them as far as his summer league stats, and that was strictly off of lobs and you know, dunks at the rim. You know what I mean? We didn't see anything else from him.
I know his trainers. Yeah, he got way more moves. He got the jumper.
Right.
He got the jumper. You know, there's a lot of potential just dripping. That's why I don't want Myles Leonard, because I don't need that time being clogged. I already got Kanter. I already got Vonleh. You know what I'm saying?
There's Cornette there.
Got Cornette. You're going to have Porzingis by the second half of the year. Let Mitchell Robinson be able to learn and make some mistakes, man.
I agree, man. And they're talking about a few things as far as they're saying they say he fired his first agent because he pulled him out of the the workouts. They're saying if he finished the workouts and stayed in, he would have been a lottery pick. He would have been somewhere in the top.
You know what
10.
It is? Maybe the Knicks staff, you know what I'm saying, had maybe the Knicks staff probably paid off the agent.
Maybe.
You know, because the thing about it was this. That he was like He could easily be a first. The Lakers was looking to take him.
Right.
The Lakers were looking to take him. But the thing
that's why he pulled them out. Because they got, I think the Lakers picked 25th, and they promised his agent that if he's there, he was taking him. They was taking him, and they pulled them out. That's why the agent pulled them out. You know? And then, you know, I think after that, after he didn't get picked 25th, and he fell to us in the second round, that's when he fired his agent.
Yeah, so, but the thing about it is, you think about they saying that if he would have stayed in the if he would have been a first rounder if he just went to the combine.
Right.
And the agent was like, nah, you ain't going to the combine. So, in fact, not going to the combine allowed him to drop. And then on top of that, there was like, the Knicks was like, yo, we signed you to a two-way contract. Saw what he did. He's like, nah. We'll sign you to this four-year, $2 million contract, which
is
damn near highway robbery.
Correct. I mean, he's going to be... I think, you know, in a few years he'll be fuming that, you know, he need to get paid. You know what I mean? But another thing his trainer said is that he sees him, he'll probably be in the starting lineup by midseason.
By the All-Star, yeah.
Right. And I, looking at the season we have ahead, you know, like I said, we hopeful. But the best thing to do is give these young dudes the playing time, man. You know what I mean? What happens? We need KP to come back. You know, it'd be nice if we, you know, do something special this season for all the free agents to see. But all in all, get these guys the minutes, get them the experience early. You know what I mean? Especially if they can handle it.
Right.
You know, I think Mitchell Robinson is in that mix with the, you know, the top big men that got picked in this year's draft. So give him the minutes, man.
I don't want nothing clouding his minutes. He needs in the situation where we are right now. We need our rookies to be our rookies. We need to learn how far that they can go and understanding their platform, so that when Porzingis comes back, what we can do, because, you know, at the least, you're talking about he reaches his potential. He's on the cheap, you know what I'm saying? He's cheap. So everything is aligning with Porzingis, something that we never had with Melo. Melo's talent never aligned with his prime.
Right.
These guys that we're getting right now, when you think about Mario, when you think about maybe if Noah Vonleh steps up, you know what I'm saying? Thinking about Frank, Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, you're getting guys that are aligning with Porzingis' prime, because Porzingis has yet to reach his prime yet.
Yeah,
so,
23. He turned 23 today, so. He's far from his prime, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
A few years before he gets there. And he's clearly, you know, the best player on the team right now. You know what I mean? And he's, you know, that right there, he's easily thrust into the leadership role, you know what I mean? And players, he has a few players that'll follow him and players that kind of compliment him too, you know what I mean? So as soon as he comes back, we need these players to be in the right position. You know what I mean?
Of course, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah, man, these players, you know, Fizdale said it himself. As far as you know, to some people, this season might be a wash, but I think you know. I don't know what without KP, you know, where we'll end up, you know, before he comes back. But at least these players will know what they're supposed to do when he does come back. You know what I mean? So hopefully he fits seamlessly back in the mix. You know what I mean? So yeah, we could, you know, jump into what the show was originally about. You know, keep what you kill, and that's talking about David Fizdale. And the culture he's bringing to New York. The moves upper management made this off season, as far as, you know, the rookies and the head coach, has brought a different type of feeling to the Knicks. You know what I mean? Recently, we came across an article stating that New York might be one of the preferred destinations in free agency next season. I also brought to my attention that they ranked us seventh. You know what I mean? And I think to some that might be not be much, but what we've been through the past few years, including situation with Dolan, the situation with Phil Jackson, the situation with Oakley, the situation with how they treated Melo before he left, our losing seasons. So I think seven is kind of promising, man. I mean,
honestly, Doc, I think seven is being underrated.
That's what I'm saying. Because
right,
there's a few teams on the list.
Like, we
that
understand,
I don't
like,
agree with.
They have Brooklyn ahead of us, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And even though Brooklyn is a high market, is one of the, is, you know, just even being a new team, a new franchise, just because it's being in a New York area, it still has a larger market than some of the more established teams.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like Jets or Giants, my G. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, still Mets or Yankees. It's still, no matter what, it's still second rate. So if you're going to try to go for New York, you're going to go for the Knicks first. But I think,
right.
I think number one, here's the thing about it, what I feel why makes us a more attractive, and this is why this year is so important. One, we have a players want to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Already.
The unicorn.
Exactly.
The unicorn. There's nobody like him, you know,
exactly.
Comparable to him in the league as far as how they play the game. You know what
offensively,
I mean?
Defensively, what he can do. Now, you add the potential of what Kevin Knox can do and Mitchell Robinson, right? You add that, also the defensive prowess. Just regardless of what Frank brings offensively, he's already elite defensively.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you have a defender, and you have a unicorn. You have a potential Anthony Davis type player, or you have a potential Kevin Durant type player. Potential. Now, add to the fact that it's a big city, and you have a coach and a front office who is finally in sync.
Right. That's what I wanted to add to it. The coach. I mean, along with the front office, but it's something that you talked about this in weeks past about how players like Mario Hezonja turned on other places that was giving him more money for more years because he wanted to play for Fizdale. You know what I mean? And from what we've heard, for most places that, you know, he's a coach that's liked around the league. You know what I mean? From the only bad situation we heard is from, you know, what happened with him and Marc Gasol. But from analysts, you know, outside the game, and then players inside the, you know, who still playing the game, everybody loves Fizdale, man. Everybody loves Fizdale, and I think he's a big attraction. Along with the other things you named, man, the players, the city, you know. I think, like you said, they have us ranked seventh, but I think it's inaccurate, man. You know, we talked about Brooklyn. I think we had a Brooklyn. Utah
Yes,
has a future. Utah has a future, but
It's not comparable, man.
I don't think nobody wants to play. Nobody wants to play there, man.
In Utah, exactly. Exactly.
When was the last time you heard of a free agent going to Utah?
You know?
They do their thing through the draft. And even, you know, as you call them, white bread left out of Utah. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
Nobody wants to play there, man. So,
you know, it's you know, you're thinking about Chicago, but they've tied their money in, and you know, depending on like their key positions are kind of tied up right now. Key positions of the players that's out there are kind of tied up. So they're gonna be looking at probably going at the second tier stars. You know what I'm saying? Probably trying to offer big money or max money to a Terry Rozier or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, as far as they have a lot of youth, they have some talent in the mix. But as far as you know, some of the free agents that'll be, you know, free next season, where do they fit in on Chicago? You know,
exactly.
I mean, we know their history. We know that that's another basketball city, but I don't see some of those players that'll be free next season. Where do they fit in Chicago? You know what I mean? And I think some of, like I said, they do have youth and they do have some talent, but I don't think they're as surefire talent as New York has. And I don't think they don't have a player yet at like KP. You know what I mean? Who's established like KP. So I think, you know, we stay ahead of them. I don't know why Indiana's on the list. Phoenix is on the list. They're not ahead of us. But
Indiana's a good team, but like you gotta understand, it's not only about
the team. It's about the
brand.
Yeah,
it's about everything is about the brand. The brand.
I feel when it comes to Indiana, I think the Indiana Hoosiers are bigger than the Pacers.
The thing about Indiana, what they have to do is they have to target homegrown talent. That's the kind of talent to me that stays in Indiana is homegrown talent. So, you know, in the market, they should be going after Eric Gordon. Guys that have played, big-time players that have played in Indiana, that grew up in the Indiana system, so that it has more of a hometown feel. That's why Oladipo worked out so well.
Mm-hmm. They have New Orleans ahead of us at 6.
Nah.
I don't agree. I mean, I think the only attraction is Anthony Davis. You know what I mean? I don't know about the town. I mean, I guess New Orleans is a lively town. I wouldn't say they're a basketball city. But players picking there as a free agent destination, I don't think so. At 1 and 2, they got Philly and L.A. I think there they might be right. I don't know who's 1 or 2. L.A., we know what L.A. is. And, you know, they got LeBron now. They got a bunch of talent over there. They have Magic Johnson, the history, and everything else. You know, as far as getting to, you know, closer to a championship, they might be ahead of us in that department. But, you know, I think this list might be right when it comes to the Lakers. Philly, I don't know, man. I mean,
Philly's a great team, but like I said, man, it's funny because it's like an in-between market, you know?
Right.
It's like it has major market appeal.
Right.
Right? Philly has major market appeal because of the stars that have played in Philly. But at the same time, it also has a small market feel. And I think to me, Philly's going to be in a state of influx in a couple of years.
Why
I really do.
That?
You know, just because Embiid and Simmons, to me, look like they're going to have the
they're going to butt heads?
Like the Kobe Shaq type thing. Yeah, you know, all this is my team and all this stuff. So it's like, it almost kind of sets it up to have a butt heads type of feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see. I can't see any of them, any, you know, excuse me, any of that from them this season that just passed. This is their first season really playing together. But I also didn't see any type of, like, bonding or real, like, camaraderie between the two of them. You know what I mean? When it came to, you know, this is our team, or, you know, excuse me, you know, getting together amongst the two and you know, really being a duo, you know what I mean? Or them playing off of each other, I should say. So you might be right in that aspect, you know. So I could easily say, you know, New York is ahead of them too. So maybe New York Boston too, you know what I mean? Not because we're fans, New York fans, but I think in reality, New York is still the Mecca, and we have some pieces now, you know, from the players to the coach to upper management. Things feel different, man. You know what I mean? I think it's a they're bringing a different culture here. I mean, we've yet to see the product on the court, but you know, from what he's been saying, it's all about it's not only about developing now, but getting that mindset that we're building towards a championship. You know what I mean? That's not something that we heard in a while. You know, we've been hearing about triangle and developing and learning the triangle. You know what I mean? Players don't want to hear that. We talked about that way in the past, man. You know, we got other aspirations, you know what I mean? And not only just making the playoffs, you know, maybe not championship this year, but building towards that, maybe, you know, closer than we thought in the past.
Right.
You know, I think we getting, like I said, we haven't seen the product on the floor yet, but culture and identity is a big we haven't had in a while. You know, I think in the last time we made the playoffs with that group in 2012 with Melo and, you know, the vets, Jason Kidd, Felton, Amari, Kenya Martin, who else?
Yeah.
Rashid. I think even Camby and Kurt Thomas was on that team. And we had the coach and Mike Woodson that brought a sense of accountability. You know what I mean? Along with those vets.
If you think about it, it was the same type of coach.
Right.
You think for all the people that said Melo couldn't play defense, he played defense under Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
He
yep.
played defense under Woodson.
Yep, and I think it was those vets who brought it out of him too, that everybody had to play. Excuse me. Everybody had to play. Everybody, you know, anybody would get called out if they missed an assignment or something like that. You know what I mean? And I think Fizdale is not afraid to do that with these players that we have now. You know what I mean? I think we'll get back to seeing that this season. You know what I mean? I mean, going even back to the 90s era that we mentioned earlier, when we had Riley and later on Van Gundy. You know what
right.
I mean? They were no nonsense coaches, along with the players too, that, you know, we had a goal and they know what we were playing for. You know what I mean? And back to that word of accountability, you know what I mean? Players couldn't take plays off on defense. You know what I mean? If you know, we had players, you know, players, when you see players arguing amongst themselves at times, it kind of shows that they care. You know what I mean? We would see Patrick Ewing scream at John Starks or push John Starks or something like that. Even Oakley, you know what I mean? And like I said, I think with Fizdale and the other two we have up top, I think things are different now, man. I think it's a better feeling amongst Knicks fans everywhere. You know what I mean? That things are really going to change. Not just a hope that, oh, we got this player now. Oh, we got this player. Oh, you see who we got. I think it's a whole nother feeling now.
Yo, we got a call on the line, Doc. Last 409999. Press 1 to enter the queue to talk, brother. You know what I'm saying? We'd love to have you conversate. You know, we got like 4 minutes left. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah. Well, what's your feelings on the culture that and, you know, identity of our Knicks now? Like I said, we haven't been seen on, you know, the product hasn't been on the floor yet, but how are you feeling about the culture change?
We're headed in the right direction, Doc. I love the way that we're headed. I love the feel that we have, the direction, the unity. And the thing about it is, it starts from up top. And when you have a unified goal, you can see there's a unified goal. There's a style of play. There's expectations. There's anticipation of what could happen. And, you know, we didn't spend all our chips on this year trying to get free agency. We positioned ourselves to do things correctly so that we can have a chance. So when the big pot next year happens, we can be major players in the game. And if Porzingis comes back healthy, plays the rest of this season, which is going to be important for the free agents to know that he's going to be there. If Kevin Knox can show the potential, you know what I'm saying, make an all-rookie team. If Mitchell Robinson shows the potential, if if Super Mario finally taps into the potential that he should have had, then, I mean, we're going to be a dangerous team come next year, and we're going to be the place that everybody wants to come play for, man. For real.
Yeah, it's looking like we're a destination again, man.
And that's
for free agents, man.
That's
and, you know,
great.
It's crazy. That's something I was, you know, crying about, you know, up to last season. I'm like, damn, man, nobody's gonna want to come here, man. The only way we can do this is through the draft. You know what I mean? And I kept saying, oh, we gotta get the draft right, but these dudes, they turned it around, man.
They done everything right, man. They done everything right. But, I mean, you know, Scott Perry, he was there when they were building, when they was helped building Oklahoma City. That's
mm-hmm.
how he first started. He started, you know what I'm saying, he was an assistant. And then moving from Oklahoma City, he went to Orlando and saw that these dudes wasn't doing it right and had conflicting goals and was able to move himself out of that situation into the Knicks, getting fully entrusted with having to do things the right way. And it's just a blessing, man.
Yeah, they really, like you said, they sticking to the script, man. You know, they didn't jump in any free agents this season. You know, the goal since Scott Perry got here was 2019. You know what I mean? The job ain't done, man. I mean, I know they want to, you know,
get rid of Noah's contract and Courtney Lee's contract, you know, something that, you know, they were, you know, came with the job, you know what I mean? It's not something that they're doing, but they did a lot so far, in my opinion, man. They turned my opinion around as far as what I was saying, that no free agent's going to want to come here, but New York is looking like a destination again.
Yeah, Doc, man, for real. You know?
Yeah.
Damn, son, time be flying by like it ain't nothing.
Word, man.
You know?
Yeah, good to be back with you, Iso, man.
I know, man. It's like we felt like we could keep going. It's supposed to be a slow week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be a slow week, and we still was able to crank out so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd like to thank all our listeners. You know what
Word.
I'm saying? You can listen to us on listen to the archives on 7sitemedia.com. You know, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You know, of course, the eye test on Mondays.
Word, man. Looking forward to
at
that.
At 9 o'clock.
Man.
Yeah,
that's
man.
That's always a good show, man. The eye test. Yo, we also on iTunes. You gotta look for us on 7sitemedia on iTunes and also SoundCloud.
That's right, man.
For past episodes. Well, yeah, man. Iso.
Doc. You know how we do, man.
Yeah, we be back next week. Same time, man.
Same channel.
Word. Well, listeners, thanks again. And shout-outs to MVB on the boards.
Always. Always.
Catch y'all next week.
Peace.
Peace.